Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Do you think of yourself as your pet's owner, guardian, or parent? And what does that label mean to you? And what does it mean to your animal? That depends on whom you ask. For example, some people perceive these terms as reflecting three distinctly different relationships with animals. They evaluate these based on what they perceive as the person's degree of emotional attachment to the animal. According to this line of thinking, ownership refers to a colder, more detached relationship with a dog or cat, more like one would have with an inanimate object, such as a car or computer. Guardians share more emotional attachments with their animals, and pet parents share the most intimate, caring, and emotional attachments of all. Or so these folks believe. However, those who track the course of human-companion-animal relationships will point out that the same word may mean different things to different people. Some who call themselves owners may love their animals tremendously and will do anything for them. And some who call themselves pet parents may be unfit or abusive ones at best. Historically, animal owners dominated the scene until relatively recently. This most likely had less to do with how much they loved their animals and more about their awareness of the law. True, the law does define ownership as the legal relationship between a person, individual, group, corporation, government, and an object. However, that object may take one of four forms. It may be corporeal, that is, a tangible object like a piano. It may be a legal creation, such as a copyright, patent, or annuity. Or it may be immovable, such as a piece of land. Or it may be movable, such as an animal. Admittedly, for those having strong attachments to their dogs or cats, such legalese may sound cold and heartless. On the other hand, of the three terms currently used by people to describe their relationships with their pets, the ownership one has the most clearly defined legal implications. When you own something, it can't be taken away without the fulfillment of certain legal proceedings. Ownership and possession are both long-established legal concepts developed and refined over centuries. Recall the saying, possession is 9/10 or 9 points of the law. It's easier to maintain ownership or something already in your possession than to gain ownership over something that isn't. Keep that in mind. Much more recently, the Group in Defense of Animals attempted to alter the classification of companion animals. They proposed the term guardian. At the time, the thinking was that this term would cause people to take better care of their animals, promote good pet behaviors, and inspire people to adopt animals from shelters and rescue groups instead of getting them from other sources. Unfortunately, they neglected to read the existing laws carefully before promoting this change. It turns out that like ownership, guardianship also has a very specific legal meaning. Legally, a guardian is defined as a person lawfully invested with a power and charged with the obligation of taking care of and managing the property and rights of a person who, because of age, understanding, or self-control, is considered incapable of administering his or her own affairs. Additionally, the guardian must always act in the best interest of the person in their care. This sounds like an obviously pet-friendly title, doesn't it? What loving pet owner doesn't want to fulfill their obligation to care for their animals? However, the law's success hinges on the definition of specific words. And needless to say, the law recognizes some distinct differences between ownership and guardianship. Recall that in ownership, possession is 9 points of the law. According to the law, guardians are not considered owners. Their charges are considered wards of the court. This means that if someone believes that the guardian isn't acting in the animal's best interest, they can petition the court to remove the animal from the guardian's care. For example, suppose I had a burr up my bum about obese dogs and cats because of the negative effects this may have on the animal's health and behavior. Theoretically, if you presented yourself as your obese pet's guardian, I could petition the court to take the animal away from you for knowingly overfeeding your pet. Not surprisingly, when this loss of legal control over their animals became clear, some folks began claiming that the terms ownership and guardianship were interchangeable, and they wanted the law changed to reflect this. But because this would open a very large can of worms that would affect multiple areas, this has yet to be settled. Then we come to pet parents. This terminology is even more recent than guardian. And again, in theory, superficially, it appears viable. After all, we know that domestication suspends domestic animals in a state of physiological and behavioral immaturity. But here again, the devil is in the details. Does the person relate to the animal like an adult member of the pet's own species that possesses quality parental skills? Or does the person relate to the animal in a way that makes them, the person, feel good, unmindful about how doing so may negatively affect the animal's health and behavior? What about any legal ramifications of being a pet's parent? On that, the law is pretty clear. Currently, the law doesn't consider us our animals' parents simply because we do not belong to the same species. But speaking of our responsibilities for our pets' actions, most people know that all states have dog bite owner liability laws. 2 points to keep in mind here, though. If your dog bites someone, you will be considered the owner by the law, regardless how you perceive your relationship with your animal and what title you use to refer to yourself. Secondly, many of those states also hold owners liable for damage done to others' property by their animals. This includes damage to inanimate objects, but also to other pets, livestock, and wildlife in some cases. So those are the basics. We live in a society that loves to claim labels or assign them to others, and sometimes passionately so. And sometimes it's easy to believe that the more noise those championing a label make, the more it reflects the validity of the label. Maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't. I accept my label as my animal's owner and the legal obligations and protections this offers, and I leave the terminology wars to others. When disciples of the guardian or pet parenthood label ask me why I do this, I tell them something that I suspect most of you know already. The relationship and feelings each of us shares with our animals are unique. So special, we probably couldn't find words, let alone a single word, that could sum this up to our satisfaction. Why waste precious time in our short lives together with our animals, quibbling about terminology that strives to describe the impossible?
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.